Hello, I'm Timothy Dunn. Welcome to CV Rap. This is a show where I sit face-to-face with the actors and directors who are performing here at Coachella Valley Repertory, members of the artistic staff, and from the CV Rap Conservatory. I hope you'll enjoy this discussion with Adam Karsten, Executive Artistic Director of CV Rap. And this happens to be the premiere of CV Rap. So we thought we'd just start at the top and with the Executive Artistic Director. His name is Adam Karsten. So tell us in 25 words or less, give or take, who is Adam Karsten?
It's a great question. Who I imagine myself to be, who I want to be in 25 words. Let's see. I think I used them all up already. I definitely would say I'm a father. That probably has become pretty prominent in my life. I like to think that I am a creative, a collaborator, somebody who enjoys challenges. Whenever I feel afraid, I think I'm going in the right direction, and somebody who likes to be inspired and inspire others. And that's why I do what I do.
So what drew you to being, I love the word impresario, so we're going to use the word impresario.
Okay.
So to be able to put together seasons and artists and performers, what attracts that to you?
I think it's about bringing people together. So because that's what those things do. And I think for me, at some point doing theater, so I began doing theater pretty early on. I think I recognized later in life as I was doing it professionally and as I trained that theater was an art form that was collaborative. So whether you were building a set or acting in a show or directing or producing, it wasn't just you. Even if you're doing a one-person show, it is a collaborative art form where you bring creative minds together to create something larger than one person, bigger than ourselves, and hopefully in the end, larger than life. And that was exciting. And I wanted to be able to do that at high levels. And I wanted to be able to do that with people that I really enjoyed doing that with. And that's part of my job. And the great part of my job is I get to surround myself with people that are probably better at everything than I am. Because in some ways, you're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with.
So once you have put everything together, you know, the sets, costumes, everyone's rehearsed. It's done. It's out there. What do you hope your audience is going to, if you can say that, what are they going to walk away with?
I don't know that there's one answer to that question. What I always kind of think of is that what I want to be able to create are experiences in stories and storytelling experiences that the audience is really touched by and moved by. I'm smart enough to recognize that if I'm sitting in that audience, the person in front of me, the person behind me, the person next to me is having a different experience or maybe thinking something very different. But as long as that experience is so intimate and so powerful that walk away affected by it, they walk away really being touched, that they really felt something genuine in that story that they could identify with or connect with or even be angry about in some ways. Because I think theater teaches us so many things in that regard. So that's, I guess, what I hope for. Yeah.
What's interesting you're saying that, too, is everyone can be affected differently. But at the same time, that audience can be out there so totally united and in the same space.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
I think I read recently in research that there's actual research that shows that an audience, during a theatrical performance, the heartbeats synchronize. And CV Rep is exactly that kind of experience because it's small, it's intimate, you are comfortably, I like to say that about CV Rep, it's very comfortable.
It's totally.
Like first class. Sitting and sharing in a very personal experience and you're not very far away from it. And if you do it at a high quality, it's inevitable that it's going to affect everybody.
You know, you're talking about, you know, the proximity of artists to the audience. I think it makes a huge difference, just different than in being in a mammoth, you know, 3,000-seat theater, and you're looking at someone highly mic'd from far away.
Yeah.
And the the exchange that you get and the effect that you can have both ways is so strong in this type of theater, I think.
I completely agree. It's exactly why I was so excited to be able to come here. It's the potential of that experience that was very attractive for me when I started talking about the position. And it's kind of like, okay, if you're going to an opera, and I know you can be very far away from an opera, but you often get engrossed in the music, and the music can take you away. It's the difference of being able to watch Michelangelo paint up close as opposed to, you know, 1,000 feet away. It's going to be a different experience.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that you have a space, we have a space here where we're bringing really high quality intimate theater where you're in none of the seats are bad seats. You're really close up in all of them, and they're always a good place to have that experience.
You're almost forced to become part of that celebration of that experience, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
Really brings everyone, you have to be present.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not sure I like that term forced, but yeah, it's true. Yeah, because we have two aisles on the side. So if you're in the middle, you're like, no, you can't get up.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
We'll let you up, don't worry.
Right, yes. We'll let you know when it's time. So, I know you're putting together the first show of the season, so I was thought for this episode of CV Rap, maybe to mention certainly the first show, The Fantastics, and then a little bit about what's coming up in the season.
Yeah, the first show is exciting because it's only been done twice before. It'll be the West Coast premiere, and we're really getting an opportunity to do the show before it potentially lands on Broadway again. And it's The Fantastics, but it's been reimagined by Tom Jones, and it's really special. And the wonderful thing about it is, one, the director that you're going to hear about from later, I think, on your show, Craig Wells, is approaching it and knows the show and knows Schmidt and Jones well and their works well, knows the producer who's allowing us to do the show well. That it's, again, that really collaborative environment, but he's approaching it like he would approach any love story. And that, to me, is the simplicity of something that's going to be so powerful because of it. But the reality of it is in this version, which is different from the original, in the original version, Matt falls in love with Louisa over a wall. In our new reimagined version, Matt falls in love with Louis over a wall. And instead of them being manipulated by their two gardening fathers, they're manipulated but also understood by their two gardening mothers. So it's a twist and a change, but in the end, it's the same simple love story that Tom and Harvey told that is so human and so identifiable with so many of us. And the talent that we're bringing to the stage, introducing the two young men in the play and the mothers and the old actor and Mortimer is, and even the mute is just exceptional. So we're excited about it. So that's what I can tell you about the first one.
And I think something that's so interesting is also that you have the boy and the girl and the two boys, and yet you come out feeling the same. The emotions, the feelings are all the same.
And, you know, Timothy, in some ways I kind of feel like, well, why wouldn't you? But it's just the world that we know that for at least many people in our generation, they would question that. Mm-hmm. For somebody like my kids, my daughter and my son who grew up going to school first in New York City, wouldn't think anything other than, of course, why wouldn't they? So that's exactly the hope, is that you really walk out with that experience. And again, it's going to be different for everybody and anyone who's in the audience that night.
And it's not messagey, which is so nice.
Yes.
It's just natural.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's exactly how Craig's approaching it, and I'm excited to be able to present it and produce it.
So, and then you're coming to your world premiere.
Yes, a world premiere.
This picked up capital W.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, it's true. Yes.
It's exciting because this was kind of discovered through our New Works development program, Origins, and that's all begun just last year here at CV Rep, but something that we want to be able to continue and are excited about. And it's where we take plays, that have never been produced before or even read before sometimes. From hundreds of submissions, we select four, do readings, and then choose one of those four to go into our next season. And this will be the first year, the inaugural year, that we're going to do that with Summer Sessions from the Bones Brigade by Kirby Fields. This play is young, riveting, powerful, but also old. And I say that it's old because it takes place in Middle America in the 1980s, but it deals with six young people coming of age. And the issues and things that they're feeling are not any different from the issues and things that young people today are dealing with. And that's the magic of it, that it's raw, it's real. It's something that, yes, I know that we weren't staring into our iPhones in the 1980s, but it doesn't mean that the pain or the difficulty of relationships and growing up were any different. So it's going to be great for old people to come back and see and remind themselves of 1980s and being young and growing up. But it's also going to be great for young people that we hope come into the theater and see, share this experience. And the play's unique. It's six young people, four young boys who are skateboarders and two young women. And they build a half pipe and skate on the stage. And the power of that alone reflects what they're going through. It's extremely well written. Kirby, the playwright's going to be here with us for the rehearsal process and the opening night, and we're excited to be able to share this experience with him. And the hope is that these plays go on, that don't just get presented here at CV Rep and disappear, but they go on, because the goal of the program in the end is that we're looking for the next Broadway show.
And 2 points. First, that Kirby will undoubtedly be doing one of our podcasts, so that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. The other is in the development of new works. That's part of a goal that you, I think, you bring to CV Rep.
Yeah. When I talked about what excited me about CV Rep and the potential, that was one of them. And I knew that from the beginning, that we exist and serve a community that's very theater knowledgeable. There are many Broadway veterans and even Broadway producers and directors that live in the Valley, very nearby, that some that attend CV Rep. So it has all of that potential. So it seemed key. It seemed obvious. That doesn't make it easy. There still are challenges in creating such a program. And the way we want to present it is that it's not at a cost to the writers and the creators and the creatives, that it's something that we want to be able to produce and give back to the art form and create and bring those people together and be able to do that without a cost to them.
It's exciting. A lot of times people will be able to sit and, I knew them when. I saw the premiere of that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. So, and then Cabaret.
Oh, yes. So
close to your heart.
It is. I won't even get into some of the things that are going on today that make it even more relevant than ever, but I will say that this is also another play that, when we talk about history and what we can learn from and experience from, and the way we're going to approach the show is, what would you do? Asking that question. But the way we're going to create the show is by making it immersive. Semi-immersive, if not fully immersive. So when you step off the sidewalk and into the playhouse, you walk into 1930s Berlin. And I might take it a step further in saying that what I'd like to be able to create is, when you walk in, you're in 1919 Berlin, the end of Versailles Treaty, and you travel through an informational experience that will take you to 1930s Kit Kat Club Berlin when you're inside the actual playhouse. And then create that for the audience and create the environment and the experience and how that might feel throughout the play, so that when Fräulein Schneider does ask, what would you do? It's a direct question to us all. Yeah. And that's one of those experiences that I talk about that I have such a passion to be able to share with audiences and create for audiences.
And it's you take it beyond the immediate show and the music and kind of shows how the arts cover decades and eras.
Isn't that true? Whether it's entertainment, whether it's thought-provoking, whether it's substantial or not, it can cover so much and in those combined art forms and touch us all. And hopefully enrich us. You know, in the end, the goal and the hope is that we all come out better versions of ourselves. Yeah. The more we expose ourselves to those experiences.
POTUS, which should be hysterical. I'm really looking forward to that. After Cabaret, you need POTUS.
You need it. Yes, we've opened with some drama. It's time. And we're going to be in an election year, so we're going to all need it. I love the second half of the title of the play because it kind of says it all, which is behind every great dumbass are seven women trying to keep him alive. And I think I said the other day, well, there's my wife, there was my mother, there's my daughter. So that's three.
yes.
But it's the ability to find ridiculous in the things that are most frightening in some ways that we need as humans. And this play will have you on the edge of the seat, not because it's dramatic, but because you're laughing. And I think that's going to be therapeutic in many ways.
The two shows, so interesting how the one is so dramatic mm-hmm. and the other one is so funny. Mm-hmm. And yet they kind of still address concerns or issues or timeless things that history hasn't changed.
Yeah. And look, in my job, there's not an agenda. I don't have, neither one of these plays, in my opinion, is pushing an agenda in any way. It's giving you, again, an experience. But you're right. You're not going to be able to walk out saying, well, that didn't have to do with anything, because it takes a political genre or theme or time of in place in time to develop the story and platform from. But the ridiculousness of the second one can definitely counter the seriousness of the first one.
And then there's the final show that you have, all singing, all dancing, all. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. it's the show itself, which is titled Nice Work If You Can Get It, is based on George and Ira Gershwin's O.K. And that's O-O-H, second word, K-A-Y. But it's kind of modernized and addition, they've added some of their other popular tunes, whether it's Someone to Watch Over Me or Fascinating Rhythm, to create this. Even though it takes place in olden times, which is wonderful, the beauty of it, Timothy, is that it's George and Ira Gershwin at its best. It's so enjoyable, so fun, so you'll walk out humming and whistling the tunes, and it will stay with you, but it's also a big, fun, roaring 20s dance show, which our stage is designed and built for. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be challenging, but I'm looking forward to it because I do have to say that golden age of musical theater is just something to die for and something I love.
Yeah. And again, what a wonderful, incredible show to end the season.
Yeah.
Because it's happy,
it's a good
way.
It's
big, and it's...
Agreed. It's a good way to go out.
And you can certainly hum the tunes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We hope you're enjoying CV Rap. If you'd like to learn more about Coachella Valley Repertory shows and education programs, or would like to purchase tickets, become a donor, or volunteer with CV Rap, visit our website at www.cvrep.org. And please rap back to us on Facebook or Instagram. And now back to our show. So now we come to the CV Rapid Fire questions.
CV Rap Rapid Fire questions. Okay.
I tried to say that together once and it did not work.
Give me that 10 times fast.
Yeah. Okay. You ready?
I'm as ready as I think I could be. Yes. Yeah.
What sign are you?
Cancer.
Three famous playwrights you'd like to have coffee with.
Ooh. Tony Kushner. Maybe Lynn Nottage. I should probably say Shakespeare, but I don't know if he and I would be able to communicate well or relate. So I'll say Eugene O'Neill.
Yeah.
Or maybe Chekhov. Again, that might be
I should have given you five.
That's okay, yeah. So what was it, three? I was supposed to say three.
Three, but we'll give you five.
Okay. Yeah.
Favorite actor or actress from the past that you would love to direct or have worked with?
Oh, my. From the past. Okay. Let's see. My wife is reading a biography on Frank Sinatra.
And now...
And he seems like a really interesting character and individual. Might not want to work with him. He might be kind of difficult, but I would say that. I would say Audrey Hepburn.
Sabrina, where have you been all my life?
Right over the garage.
How could you not fall in love with that? Yeah. Grace Kelly. I grew up watching Gene Kelly.
I'm singing in the rain.
And just was enamored with him. And he spent some time in Pittsburgh, and I'm a big Pittsburgh fan. So maybe that. Again, how many? This is rapid fire, right? I'm giving you way too many answers.
It is, but it's our first. This is the test rapid fire. Favorite sports team?
Seriously?
It's right there on the list.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That was such a giveaway. If you are reincarnated, who were you before? Or hoped you were?
Oh, I get it. Who was in my previous life?
Yes.
I think I was a candle maker.
Ooh.
I don't know my name, but I had some strange identification with candles. I know it seems bizarre. I don't know why, but yeah.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a personal motto or mantra?
Motto or mantra? Be inspired. No, that's too cliche. You know what? I think it's what I said earlier, which I'm beginning to identify with, but it's not something that I've lived by for long, but it's when I feel frightened or scared, I'm probably on the right track. And I'm trying to live more by that and go towards it as opposed to run away from it.
Mm-hmm. A guilty pleasure?
Oh, that's easy. Hazelnut coffee creamer. And there are quite a few people who probably know that who are probably nodding their heads right now. I don't know which brand. It comes in a big yellow-red bottle.
Mm.
Really big, because that's why I buy it. Then I don't have to be without it.
So what a hint for people to bring that to you here at the theater.
Exactly.
Everybody walks in with here, this is for Adam.
Yeah, flowers. Oh, yeah, nice. Thank you. Coffee creamer. Hey!
Yes. Board of directors right now. So last one. Your farewell season. 5 works that you would say, this is my swan song.
Ah, like shows? Okay. Plays. I'd like to take on Indecent at some point in the season, hopefully to come. I loved Amadeus. I loved it as a movie, but I think it'd be fun to try and put up on the stage as well. Curious Instinct of the Dog is too technical, but amazing and a great play. There's a play called Frozen, not the musical, a play that's awful in its subject matter, but so powerful. And it was Brian F. Brian, who I think won the Tony for it, but it was just, it knocked my socks off. Then I would switch over to musicals and look at some musicals. I have a fondness in my heart for Miss Saigon. It's a big show. I don't know if it'd be too big for us. Les Mis, I love. And then, I don't know. I like the idea of putting on new works too. So I would throw in, how many shows do we do a season?
Who's
We've
counting?
Expanded.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
We're expanding into the
exactly.
summer season.
Yes.
That's hard because there's so many great works out there that covers such a wide gamut of different kind of feelings and genres that it's hard to choose. I could go on and on.
Last question is when you were just saying this, if you were to program in a season, is there something about putting two shows together, two plays or musicals together? One that's older, classical or classic, and one that is more contemporary that you might... I was reminding of the Miss Saigon, you know, because bringing something else in or...
I definitely...
compare and contrast.
That is absolutely part of my thinking. I mean, when we talk about seasons, you talk about balance. And you're not just balancing it with subject matter or genre. You're also balancing it with old and new. And we're definitely doing that now more because we're going to present a premiere work each year. We don't just do premieres. I want to be able to bring back Golden Age or classics or and it doesn't mean that they're reimagined or re-envisioned all the time either. There's real value in bringing them back in the way they're done. I remember I had a great discussion at a dinner the other day, and the discussion was whether or not operas should be modernized. Oh, Enrico Caruso, that's another person I would name on that list.
Yeah.
And I think it was Peter Sellers who did wonderful modern adaptations of them, but there's also something that is really wonderful about seeing them in their original classic form. So I think there's value in both, but I definitely like the idea of old and new. coming in into a season together.
Yeah. I think the advice of just give it a chance is so important.
Mm-hmm. That's a great statement, actually, when you think of a season, because you want to create a season that is balanced, but you also want to create a season that everybody's going to be willing to actually attend and challenge themselves mm-hmm. with and say, okay, I'm going to go in and see how this makes me feel without bias.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. We have, I think, drawn to a close of this premiere. I think it was a good premiere.
Yeah, thank
you. I would
you.
Applaud it.
It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks for
thank
having
you.
Me.
Yeah. We'll have you back. CV Rap is brought to you by the Coachella Valley Repertory, home of professional, high-quality, intimate theater. This podcast was produced by CV Rep with audio recording, editing, and production by Joshua Adams and is intended as a public service for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a legal interpretation nor statement of CV Rep and its programming. This podcast is the property of CV Rep, and no other use without the written permission of CV Rep may be made.